All right. Let's go back tonight to 1 Kings chapter number 21, and we're going to read a few verses and try to look at some things here tonight and conclude this message. Try not to keep you too long and get a few things tonight. Finish this up. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 21, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. One thing I picked up on when I read that this time in studying is that Ahab, wanted to change what had been going on for years. He wasn't going to be satisfied to leave it a vineyard. He wanted to change it into a garden of herbs. And I'll say this, I listened to the Sunday school lesson this afternoon. The enemy, he wants us to change too. He doesn't want us to stay in the old path. He wants us to go the modern way, go the way of the world. But God's given us a vineyard. He said, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. How many of y'all know that on any given Sunday, the enemy comes in, he comes into hearts, he comes into minds, and he's trying to teach people, convince people that there's a better vineyard. There's something better than this. There's got to be something better than this. We know better. The Bible said, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. Let's pray for just a moment. We'll try to conclude this tonight. Father, we sure do thank you and praise you for this good service thus far, the good singing, the wonderful fellowship, the wonderful word, Lord, from the missionary, from Brother Junior tonight. Lord, just to be able to sense a man's burden. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're still burdening hearts. You're still calling people, our Lord, to the mission field. God, I thank you tonight. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, a church, just to continue. Lord, pray for missionaries and support missionaries and help them, Lord, in the way. Father, we thank you tonight for this Bible and, Lord, these truths. And pray, God, that you'll help them, seal them. Help them, Lord, to sink way down in our heart. Seal them, our Father, to our hearts tonight. And God, we'll give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Not going to go back and preach everything that we did this morning, but we're just looking at three simple things in this message, the characters that are involved in this story. This is the story of Naboth's vineyard, the characters that are involved in this story. Several of you told me after church this morning that you had read it, but you had never really picked up on that. Well, don't feel bad. I'd read it over and over and over too. I just want to make this statement, and I'm not making this in a derogatory way, but there is a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. There is a difference. When you dig in there and study the Word of God, I tell you, it gets so big, and you realize how little you are and how big He is. And it seems like the more you learn, the more you know you need to learn, and the more that the Lord just helps us and humbles us along the way. Amen. And so we see the characters involved in the story. Naboth, his name means fruitful. He's one of the main characters. Ahab, the wicked king of Israel. We read you those verses, verse 25 and 26. Tells you how wicked this king was. Jezebel, a very wicked woman, an ungodly woman. And then there were two men, children of Belial. Belial meaning without profit, worthless. By extension meaning destruction, wickedness, evil, naughty, ungodly, and wicked. Can I just say this? This world's full of them. This world is full of wicked men. This generation that we live in is full of wicked men. But thank God, God has a remnant. The Lord has a remnant that's not going to sell out the vineyard. It's going to stay with their inheritance, stay with the old book, and stay with the old time way. Then you have Elijah. He's a major character in this. And then, of course, the one that you don't see spelled out on the page, but he's behind it all. Holy men of old moved, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The God of heaven, amen, is in this story tonight as well. And then we see not only the characters involved in the story, but we see the choices involved in this story. There was Ahab's choice to approach Naboth. He was a covetous man. We said this morning, I read a statement, contentment makes poor men rich, and discontentment makes rich men poor. That young lady, that 14-year-old, was rich. You said she was poor, but she was rich. And I understand what you mean, Brother Junior. She was rich in what this world needs more of, in a relationship with the God of heaven, amen, with the joy that only the Lord can give. And then there was Naboth's choice to keep what his fathers had left him. Naboth was not afraid to keep and to stand for what was right. It was Ahab's choice to sulk and pout before his wife. He was guilty of not only covetousness, but childishness. Then there was Jezebel's choice to take matters into her own hands and try to, my friend, secure the vineyard for her ungodly husband, Ahab. Then there were two men, the children of Belial, that chose to conspire with Jezebel and lie on Naboth. Then there was Elijah's choice to say what God had told him to say, Ahab's choice to repent, and then God's choice to delay the judgment in Ahab's life. I want to come tonight now. We've looked at the characters involved in this story of Naboth's vineyard, the choices involved in the story. What I want to look at tonight are the consequences involved in this story. I believe that sometimes when we're preaching, the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God and the pardon that God offers and the forgiveness that God offers, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we miss this, and that is that sin has consequences. Even when forgiven, sin has consequences. For example, if you drink like a fish, the Bible said not to even look on the wine when it moveth itself aright. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so when a man destroys his liver drinking that stuff and then gets saved, yes, he can have forgiveness. Yes, he can be saved. Yes, he can have a home in heaven. But I'm telling you, that doesn't mean his liver's going to get better overnight. Amen. He's going to bear the marks of that sin in his body. And the same thing with all other things that would hurt our body. And so there's consequences to sin. And we need to remember that. Even in the life of a child of God. Listen, when David sinned, David did get right with God. And I believe this. I believe David got thoroughly right with God. If you read Psalm 51, he wasn't playing around the edges. I mean, tell you, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. But God told Nathan, you tell him, the sword will never leave your house. And I tell you, the consequences were there for his actions. And sometimes that's not preached the way that it should be. So let's look at the consequences of these choices that are involved, the consequences involved in this story, and we'll go home tonight praising the Lord. Naboth, let's look at him first of all. What happened in Naboth's life? What were the consequences? Well, he lost his vineyard. He did, but he kept his character. First thing I thought about when I thought about that was a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was tempted by, I think her name was Potiphar's wife. Is that right? Over in the book of Genesis. And Joseph ran out. She grabbed him by his garment. He lost his coat. But he didn't lose his character.
And I like what Brother Brian said this morning in Sunday school. Beloved, you can lose in an instant what it's taken a lifetime to build up. Amen. And Naboth did not lose his character. He might have lost his vineyard, but he didn't lose his character. And then he lost his temporary life, but he gained eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that's right. And then he died with his sons, but now he lives with his Savior. Look at 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 26 with me for just a moment. Let me show you this in the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 26. The Bible said, "Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord. And I will requite thee in this plat, saith the Lord. Now therefore, take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord." You say, "Preacher, why did you bring that out?" Because listen, Naboth did that which was right, and it didn't only cost him his life. I believe we're living in a generation where people want to serve God without a price. To serve God without a cost. And he bound to have known. Listen, they're not just coming after me. They're coming after my boys, because the inheritance would have been passed right down to them had they not killed them also. They wiped them out. Amen. And so there was consequences to that choice. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that." Well, it all depends on where you're looking at it from. If you're looking at it in the temporal realm, it looks awful. But I tell you, if you're looking at Stephen in the temporal realm, it looks awful. But look at him in the eternal. Glory to God. He said, "I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." Doesn't look so bad when you look at it in the eternal realm. Amen. The Bible said there came in two men, children of Belial. They sat before him. The men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth did blaspheme God and the king." Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. And the Bible said, listen, I believe with all of my heart that Naboth did what was right. He was a child of God. Numbers 36 said, "So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers." And this man of God lived up to the word of God. And he was willing to bear the consequences of doing that. By the way, let me just say some things tonight. I'm not trying to be ugly, but if this country keeps going the way it's going, God only knows what's going to happen. God only knows what's going to happen. I don't know. I've heard in the wind, and I don't know if there'll be anything to it or not, but the first thing they might do, if you don't stop preaching against sodomy, preaching against sin, amen, then the first thing they might do is come along and go after your tax-exempt status. I wonder how many men are going to cow down instantly and say, "Well, we can't afford to pay the taxes." I'll tell you what we can't afford. We can't afford to deny the God of heaven. We can't afford to deny his word. We can't afford to back up on the truths of God's word. We can't afford to sell out our inheritance that God has given us in this generation. We can't afford that. We can't afford that. I tell you, Naboth, he wasn't interested in that. Let me just say this. The Lord give me this. And Naboth was not choosing. Listen. He was not choosing in his choice to do wrong by Ahab. That's not what was in Naboth's mind. Naboth was not choosing to do wrong by Ahab. Naboth was choosing to do right by his Father on earth and his Father in glory. Amen. His Father in heaven. It may look like that on the surface. He was doing right by his Father. I thought about this lady in the Bible. Her name was Esther. You know what she said? That, you know, if they went in before the king and the king did not hold out his scepter, then Esther knew she could have died instantly. Even though she was the king's wife, she was the queen. She knew that. But she told Mordecai, sent word, said, "If I perish," said, "I'll go on in there. And if I perish, I perish. I say hallelujah. Give us some young people. Give us some moms. Give us some dads. Give us some churches that will stand in this old time inheritance and just say, if we perish, we perish. Amen. Go out in a shout. Shouting the truths of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Naboth, listen, he was like Esther. If I perish, I perish. He was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told old Nebuchadnezzar, our God's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, you're never going to find us out there at that idol image of gold bowing down. We'd rather go out doing right than to stay doing wrong. That's what we need. A generation that'd say we'd rather die doing right than live doing what's wrong. Amen. So the consequences in Naboth's life, I tell you, God's blessing him. You see, this thing's all turned around. I'll get into the rest of this here just in a minute. But if you look at it, if you're looking at it from man's point of view, it looks like Ahab is winning and Jezebel is winning and Naboth is losing. Isn't that what it looks like? It looks like, man, look, he's died. Look, his sons are dead. It looks like he's losing. But I tell you, I'm reminded of a song and I like it. He win either way. Amen. He was taking his stand. And if they let him live, he won. And if he died, he won. He cannot lose taking a stand for God. It looks like Ahab's winning when Ahab's losing. It looks like Ahab has gotten his way. But I tell you what Ahab didn't get. He didn't get God's way. Naboth did it God's way. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God will take care of it. Amen. If it's his work. I thought about Daniel. Thank God he took a stand. Wouldn't quit praying. Amen. Kept on praying. The consequences involved in the life of Naboth. Secondly, in the life of Jezebel. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. By the way, can't you just see her and all that barn paint? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it must have been caked on in layers. Amen. But listen to me. Can't you just see her grinning? Can't you just see her, listen to her wicked laugh when Naboth has been killed and his sons has been killed and she gets to come in and say, Ahab, honey, here's the vineyard. I've got it for you. Oh, it's looking good. As far as man goes, she thinks it's all right. But I tell you, she forgot something many times that this generation's forgetting. That is, God's got your number. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said. Listen to the consequences when Jehu was come to Jezreel. Jezebel heard of it. She painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And Jehu entered in at the gate. And she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there took out to him two or three eunuchs. There looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, I'm just getting a picture of this, Brother Steve. As I read it, it looks like somewhere or another that these eunuchs are telling Jehu, we're on your side, buddy. We're tired of this painted face. We're tired of this wickedness. We're tired of what's going on. Some way or another, they signaled Jehu and let him know, we're on your side, buddy. We believe you're on God's side. We want to be on the right side of this issue. Watch what happens here. And the Bible said, and he said, throw her down. You say, preacher, why do you believe they did that? I believe they've been wanting to do it for a long time. So the Bible said, so they threw her down and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses and trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go. He said, go, see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she's a king's daughter. Even Jehu had enough decency that he wanted to see wicked Jezebel buried because she was the king's daughter. But watch what the Bible said. The Bible said here, they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him. He said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elisha the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel. So they shall not say, this is Jezebel. I'll tell you something tonight. There's consequences. Amen. The consequences don't always come instantly. But I tell you, in God's time, you can mark it down. There will be consequences for what we're seeing in the life of Jezebel and what we're seeing, my friend, in the life of Ahab. Now look at the consequences in the life of Ahab. The Bible tells us over here in 2 Kings 10, if you want to turn there. 2 Kings chapter number 10 for just a moment. 2 Kings chapter number 10, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Look at the consequences. Judgment on the house of Ahab. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. Let me tell you something right now. God watched Naboth's sons die. God watched Naboth die. Everybody thought this is cool. This is good. It's going good. It's going fine. But the God of heaven, you remember, same in the life of David. When you go through, I think it's 2 Samuel chapter number 11, you get to the end of the chapter. David's got it all covered up now, he thinks. Who was the good man of God there? Help me, somebody with his name. Uriah, the Hittite. Uriah, he tries to get him drunk. He tries to get him to sleep with his wife. He's trying to cover up the pregnancy so nobody know who the baby was. I'm going to tell you something right now. God knows who the baby belonged to a long time before DNA. Amen. God knew. God knew. God knew. You get down to the end of the chapter, David's got it all covered up, he thinks. And the Bible uses this verse. But the thing which David did displeased the Lord. You come into chapter 12, I believe it is. I may be off of chapter 2 there. I'm not sure. But you've got Nathan the prophet telling David a story. And David says, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. Nathan says, you're the man. We'll tell you something right now. God had Ahab's number. God had Jezebel's number. And God has your number and my number tonight. In verse number 1, Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. Jehu wrote letters sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezreel, unto the elders, and to them that brought up Ahab's children, saying, now, as soon as this letter cometh to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and there are with you chariots and horses and fenced city also and armor, look even out the best and neatest of your master's sons. Set him on the father's throne, on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid, and said, behold, two kings stood not before him. How then shall we stand? And he that was over the house, he that was over the city, the elders also, and the bringers up of the children, sent to Jehu, saying, we are thy servants, and will do all that thou shalt bid us. We will not make any king. Do thou that which is good in thine eyes. Then he wrote a letter the second time to them, saying, if you be mine, and if you will hearken to my voice, take ye the head. Look at it. The heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me, and come to me to Jezreel by tomorrow at this time. Now the king's son, being 70 persons, were with the great men of the city, which brought them up. It came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's sons and slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent them to Jezreel. You say, preacher, this is ugly. Let me tell you what sin is. It's ugly. Let me tell you what the consequences of sin is. It's ugly. Ahab wasn't counting on this. Jezebel wasn't counting on this. And I'll tell you what we need to count on tonight. that God is right. God is holy. God is righteous. And my friend, no wonder, listen, looks to me like in reading the Bible, there's something to that verse that says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You don't have to take vengeance on anybody. You turn them over to Jesus, buddy. He'll do it right. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. It came to pass, there they slew the 70 persons in verse 7, put their heads in baskets. There came a messenger, verse 8, told, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's son. And he said, lay ye them to two heaps at the entering of the gate until the morning. And it came to pass in the morning, he went out, stood, said to all the people, ye be righteous. Behold, I conspired against my master and slew him. But who slew all of these? Know now that there shall fall unto the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. Over and over and over, you see it in this Old Testament. What God says, God does. What God promises, God fulfills. Like we were talking about on Easter Sunday, he can be trusted. Because when it says, as he said, that means, buddy, it's going to happen. Just like he said, it's going to happen. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, there's consequences. You know, Ahab, being a king, probably would like to have died in the battle. Like to have died, fighting. But according to 1 Kings 22 and verse 34, a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness, wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thy head, carry me out of the host, for I'm wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host, going down to the sun, saying, every man to his city, every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria. And they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria. And the dogs licked up his blood. And they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. It happened just like God said. This is a little bit crazy, what I'm about to say. But do you know what the chances are of a man just pulling a bow back, boom, turning an arrow loose, and it hitting a man just right to take him out? You know what the chances are of that? Let me say something to you. When you're talking about God, you're not talking about chance. You're talking about providence. In the providence of God, in the plan of God, God could say, Ahab, you're going down, son. You took my servant down, and you're going down. You took his sons down, your sons will go down too. Mark her down, amen. I tell you, I like to hunt with a bow. And last year I had the privilege to go to Illinois. And I'm supposed to go out there and preach revival again this year. Well, it just happens to be when it's deer season. Only we set it back a week this year because last year I had to come down out of the tree while it was still daylight to go preach. So the time will have changed and I'll get to stay in the tree till dark, Brother Johnny, and then go preach. Amen. I don't mean nothing to a lot of y'all. But I was out there last year, and I was thinking coming across the road about this at a venture. Wouldn't it be nice, Brother Johnny, to go to Illinois? There's a big old corn patch, and there's a big old buck hiding in there somewhere. And just go, he comes running out of there with an arrow stuck right through both lungs. Just go over there, field dress him, bring him home. Wouldn't that be something? You know what chances that are? Exactly. God is telling us in the Bible, he had Ahab's number. You say, preacher, that's Ahab. Let me tell you something about God. He's got all of us' number. He's merciful. But what we need not to forget, there are consequences to the choices that we make. There were consequences, even for doing right. There are consequences. Listen, there have been some men, listen to me carefully, they've climbed the ladder on the job, didn't care who they stepped on, didn't care how many reports they falsified. There are other men that are still down near the bottom of the ladder. You listen to me, but they would not do wrong. They would only do right. I'll tell you, they might be at the bottom of this ladder, but they'll be at the top of that one day after a while. It ain't worth cheating over. Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to say that, but I said it, and it's the truth. You know it's the truth. There's not just politics in the White House. There's politics. And by the way, I'll just go ahead and say this. There's politics in a lot of churches. I like what Brother John told me, if I get it right. He told me, Brother Jack said this years ago, and I like it. Brother Jack said, I'm not here to run the church. I'm just here to see that nobody else does. I like that. Amen. Glory to God, the best Christians are servants. The best preachers are servants. The best deacons are servants. Amen. It's not about being a boss. It's about serving the Lord shoulder to shoulder in God's precious army. Amen. Ahab, he paid his due, didn't he? The Bible said, listen to this. We're not done yet. Listen to this consequence. One more, and then I'll get over to Elijah, and we'll be done. 1 Kings 22:51. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab. This would be, Brother Brian, if you're wicked Ahab, now we're coming down to Louise. That would be the illustration. The father and the son. But I want you to see something. Watch this now. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And he reigned 2 years over Israel. Verse 52. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father. Now, you say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Not only does Ahab lose his life, but here he's got a son that's going to succeed him to the throne, that's going to walk in the wicked ways of his father Ahab. Could have been a grandson. Look here. The Bible said he did evil in the sight of the Lord, walked in the way of his father, in the way of his mother, in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, for he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. I use Brian and Louise just to try to use a little example there, a father and a son. But you know what? The consequences of doing right, not always, but most of the time, if there's a dad that'll do right, there'll be a son that'll do right. There's a dad that loves God. By the way, that's one of the things that's wrong in our country. There are too many youngins running around without a dad at all, let alone a dad that loves God. One of the things that's wrong. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. You don't have to like it. But I believe we have a president that has squandered an opportunity to help the black people in the United States of America. Squandered. He had their ear. But I'll tell you what it would have required. It would have required some of that political correctness to go out the window and try to help the people that needed help. I didn't plan on saying that, but it's a God's truth and you know it is. You could have helped in a great way. In a great way. Now, the consequences in the life of Naboth, in the life of Jezebel, in the life of Ahab, and then this one more and I'm done. I won't be long. The life of Elijah. He said, preacher, what happened? Elijah stood for the truth. Elijah preached the word of God like God told him to. What happened? I got to thinking about this, and I didn't know exactly how it was worded in the Bible, but it's there. If you go to John chapter number 1 and verse number 19, it says, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? They're coming to John the Baptist now, and they're saying, who are you? Who art thou? And he confessed, and he denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Verse 21, and they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias, meaning Elijah? You say, let me say something. Hundreds of years have passed since the story of Naboth's vineyard. But everybody still remembered Elijah. And when John the Baptist come on the scene, they said, that must be him. If he's not the Christ, then watch what it says. Art thou Elias or Elijah? He said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, no. They said unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And here's what he said in verse 23. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah or Esaias. Beloved, this is so important. I'm trying to remember the verse now. I may have to turn over there and read it. I believe it spake of Abel in Hebrews chapter 11, maybe long about verse 4 or 5. And I believe it said this, he being dead, yet speaketh. Elijah had been dead a long time. Actually, he was more alive than he ever had been. You know what I mean. He had been gone a long time. God took him up. But he was still speaking. Abel had been gone a long time. But he was still speaking. Beloved, I want you to know tonight, the consequences of doing right. I don't know this. I can't prove this. But don't you just imagine that in Israel, somebody would have had to have said somewhere along the line, whatever happened to old Naboth? Don't you reckon that it became common knowledge among the people in Israel what Jezebel and Ahab conspired to do to God's child and his inheritance? I believe it happened. One more thing about Elijah. If you go over to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 32, Elijah's name is not mentioned in Hebrews 11. If it is, I missed it. But listen to what the Bible said. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel. And then it uses these words, and of the prophets. You can't tell me Elijah's not included right there. Amen, Brother Gale. You can't tell me Elisha's not included right there. You can't tell me Daniel's not included right there. You can't tell me Ezekiel's not included right there. You can't tell me Jeremiah's not included right there. And Hosea's not included right there. And Amos is not included right there. And Micah, watch this now, and all the rest of them. They're included. The prophets of God. God wanted us to know. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but But they were looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I don't know about you tonight, but when I look at the consequences in the life of Jezebel and the life of Ahab, I go back in my mind, Naboth, he's falsely accused, so is Joseph. Joseph, I'm missing something. I got to go back and study this. I believe when Brother Rose was here, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Grizzly said that Joseph was in prison for 12 years. I didn't know that. I thought it was 2 years, and I don't know where I came up with that from. But we do know he was in prison, falsely accused. I need to go back and study that out, because I'll about guarantee you Brother Rose is right. I'll about guarantee you he is. He's well versed in the scripture. But I know this. It looked bad for Joseph at a time in his life. But in the end, God exalted the man that lost his coat but did not lose his character. I will guarantee you that in the end, God exalted the man that said, "You can't have my vineyard. It's not just me being stubborn. It belonged to my dad." And the God of heaven said, "We're supposed to keep it in the family." Not trying to be mean, just trying to be right. By the way, beloved, you don't have to try to be mean. Sometimes if you just want to try to be right, you just refuse to look at what they're looking at, refuse to listen to what they're listening to, refuse to tell the jokes they're telling. Help me. They'll set you aside like there's something wrong with you when the truth is there's just something right with you. His name's Jesus. Amen. The consequences. We looked at the characters. We looked at the choices. We've looked at the consequences. And I don't know about you, but I'd much rather be in Elijah's camp and Naboth's camp than I would in Ahab's camp and Jezebel's camp. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I'd much rather be in the camp with God's people. Over there in Hebrews, where just after these verses that I read to you about the prophets, it says, "Of whom the world was not worthy." Martha, you're here tonight, honey, and I'm not trying to play on your heartstrings, but you can ask Miss Eve. The only peace I can get in my heart, her dad went to heaven, what, 51, 52 years old, honey? 48. Maybe I'm thinking of Dwight, honey, Dwight's age. I'm putting both of them together. What I mean is, both of them were blossoming and blooming in their lives. I mean, Dwight had started teaching Sunday school. Her daddy picked 7 children up and left a good job at the glass plant that he had been with for years with no support, Brother Junior. Went to the Rock of Ages. They got it. He'd take his family and attend the conferences. And they got up one time in a conference and said, "We need a maintenance man. We need somebody to mow grass. We need somebody to change light bulbs. We need somebody to help with a building project. We need somebody to paint." He went to Brother Garris and said, "I'm that somebody." I'm talking about Brother Ralph laid his job down. Picked up his, I remember like it was yesterday, riding in the car. Brother Rudy was in the car with me. I remember like it was yesterday. I said, "Brother Rudy, you sure about this?" I said, "Your first obligation is your family. You've got to take care of your family." I was concerned. I tell you what, he served 2 years. He went down there. Brother Ralph and Brother Gene Hooker was sitting there talking to him, and they were sitting in an office that had fluorescent light bulbs in it. I can remember like it was yesterday when Brother Gene told it. He said, I looked at Brother Rudy and said, Brother Rudy, have you ever changed a light bulb like these? He said, no. Brother Gary, he had never changed a fluorescent light bulb, but he was going to be a maintenance man. You see how Brother Gene's looking at it now? He's thinking, my goodness, what have we done? He said, but if you'll show me one time. They said, Brother Randy, they got down there building in a building project. They all went to lunch. But they had already showed him just a little bit how to wire through them two befores. And when they come back, he had the room wired, Brother Houston. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Why would you tell that? I didn't plan on it. Here's what I tell it. The only peace I can get in my heart sometimes when I think about him and think about others that have left this world young, that our God looked down and said, the world's not worthy, Brother Rose. I'm going to take them home. I'm going to bring them home. The world's not worthy. Maybe somebody thought that about Naboth. Maybe somebody said, the world's not worthy. A man of that character. Maybe somebody thought that about Abel. Maybe somebody thought that about Stephen, Brother Ralph. Preach one message. According to the world, he'd be a failure. How dare you call him a failure when you get up there. Amen. I tell you what, he got the job done. And tonight, help us. Lord, help us just to do right. Let the chips fall where they may. Amen. Let the chips fall where they may. How many's glad you come tonight? Amen. Consequences. There's consequences to those choices. Amen. Be careful with those choices. And I tell you this, include God in those choices. Brother Junior, I'm being a little bit personal right here, but was there anybody in your family or Sister Brandy's family that thought y'all was just off your rocker? Absolutely, he says. Have y'all lost your mind? Look at this big, nice house you got and these big, nice jobs you got. Just tell them to come see you in your new home, brother. I'll tell you tonight, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your children, the people of God that gathered tonight. Thank you for these truths. God, I pray we wouldn't soon forget them. You'd seal them in our heart. Help us, our Lord, to make right choices. Lord, I believe there's people here tonight that need the Lord. God, I pray tonight you'd speak to their heart. Help them, Lord. Help them. There are people here tonight, Lord, that need to surrender whatever your will is for their life. They just need to throw up the white flag and say, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Father, what a joy it is to be surrendered. I pray, Father, tonight, you'd help us not to sell out our inheritance. Lord, there have been some good men down this trail. They've worn it out pretty good. Lord, it's a plain path. Help us to stay in it. Help us, Lord, not to veer off to the left or the right, but to walk with you in these days. God, I pray for these missionaries tonight, Brother Junior and Sister Brandy and those two precious daughters. God, we pray, Lord, you keep your hand on their family. That young lady, Lord, 14 years old, I may never meet her in this life. God, I believe I'll meet her in the next one. I pray, God, that you'll bless her real good. Bless her mommy and daddy that can't speak English. Lord, I'm glad when they pray, you hear their prayer and you know, God, what they need. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd give them ample food, that you'd supply their need. God, I pray tonight you'd help us to be a blessing.